Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 530, Power Rangers Dino Thunder, episode 34. Drawn into Danger.
There you go. It aired October 23rd, 2004, written by Jackie Marchand, directed by Britta Johnstone. Josh, let's part the kimono a little bit. We were supposed to record this last week, but we recorded Pokemon World Tour, and so we didn't record this. And it was fine because World Tour went really long.
It did. It was almost 2 hours.
Yeah, and I would not have wanted to do another podcast after or before it. But it was April 1st, and I did have a lot of good April Fool's jokes for me to do on you planned.
Oh, well, you see, I knew that. That was the biggest April Fool's joke.
So I'm the April Fool. I was going to offer you a Reese cup. I had a Reese cup, and I was going to say, do you want one? April Fool's, you're in Kentucky. I
would have gone out to the kitchen and got an egg. I got a bunch of them in the fridge.
Man, those eggs. I always think the April Fool's eggs. That's what they're called. No, the Reese eggs. they can't be that much better. Like, it's just my brain, like, supposing. But no, it turns out that they just are the best version of Reese cup. I don't like the big ones. I feel like those are weirdly dry, but like the smaller ones, oh, the perfect amount of chocolate to peanut butter. I was going to also tell you that we were watching, even though this is the episode that you start, I was going to tell you that we were watching In Your Dreams again, because that episode was really bad. So that's just a couple of the goofs I have planned that, you know.
Oh, well, what could have been?
You know, it's sliding doors. Instead, if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it. You can follow along if you have the DVDs, specifically Disc 5 of Dino Thunder. We're talking about how we're getting close to the end, and that's weird.
Yeah.
I feel like this one went quick, right?
It does seem that way, but we started in January, right?
Yeah, maybe earlier. No, yeah, I think it was probably January.
So, I mean, 4 months, that's about right, I think.
Yeah. It just seems like it was like, oh, hey, we're going to watch Dino Thunder next, and then it's almost done.
That's because it's still a year later, a global pandemic, and what the hell else are we doing now?
That's true. We are in the 13th month of March 2020. Anyway, let's go watch Drawn Into Danger.
Dino Thunder, power up!
And we're back, and we just watched Drawn Into Danger, a.k.a. Take On Me 2. Analog
Take
Boogaloo.
Take On Me 2.
Take On Me. we'll talk about it, but this episode looks bad. A lot of this episode looks like garbage.
It was like a elementary, maybe even like a daycare art project where you put a bunch of like paints or oils in like a Ziploc bag and you just squeeze them all together. Do you ever do this?
No, I don't think I ever did that.
And the colors all like move around and like run together. And that's what this episode kind of looks like.
Yeah, there's a couple parts. We'll talk about it. HeyJakeandJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there. Listen to old episodes of The Morphin Grid up through Time Force, including the Bobo episodes. There's also the archive feed, which is the first 458 episodes of the show. That's right. 10 full seasons of The Morphin Grid. If we divide, I mean, we kind of divide into seasons because we do have a seasonal award show at the end of each season, which, like, denotes the end. So I guess, yeah, technically the first 10 seasons of the show are in the archive feed, and you can go listen to them there. I think somebody on the Discord said that they listened to the first episode today, and I can't imagine why anyone would do that on purpose in this economy. Yeah. But, you know, God bless.
It's either that or wait 10 years for us to do the loop. So.
Yeah, you know, we could, yeah, you know. Or you can listen to the Trouble in the Park episode. We got two Trouble in the Parks, which are kind of, you know, goofs on what would happen if we started now. a lot of ways you could not listen to those first. I would say 100 episodes, maybe.
Starting Zio, probably.
Yeah, I think at Zio is when we like got it. Like we figured out like what we're doing now. I do think there's probably a lot of gems in those first 150-ish episodes. But just, you know, be gentle. Our world was smaller then. We were dumb. We didn't know. So there's that. You can email us at littleidiots.morphinggrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphinggrid. We're on Apple Bark Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Stitcher and Podknife and Podbay and Podbay B and Pod on Me. Pod on Me. Pod Me On. There's a whole part where it's just the Aha music video, but with Power Rangers in it.
Yeah.
So if you didn't listen to the, if you didn't watch the episode, maybe these jokes are confusing for you right now, but give it time and they'll
also
land.
If you're like a zoomer and you don't know what an Aha is,
oh, if you don't know what Aha was, a band from the 80s that had two songs. That's right, they had two songs. Only one of them anyone remembers, but the other one, they did the theme song to the James Bond movie Living Daylights. The song was called Living Daylights and it owns bones. It's really good. But mostly they just did Take on Me, which is also a good song. But
the video outlived the song.
I think the video took the song over. Yeah.
Which is crazy to think that that was like cutting edge,
right?
Back then. And now it's like nothing.
No, now like literally they did it in this episode and they did it like, okay.
They did it in this episode, but they did it bad.
They did it really bad. Yeah. It was very well done in the Aha video. Also, I don't remember what it was. My friend Andy Bjorklund, who it was my friend in college. I mean, he's still my friend now, but I knew him more in college. I haven't seen him in like 7 or 8 years. He showed me this music video. It was Aha's music video, but with different lyrics. I think it was like a literal music video, something like that. And there was just the,
it's like a bad lip read.
It was like that, but it was like, instead of doing a bad lip read, I'm just going to describe what happens in the music video set to the lyrics and the melody of the video. And all I remember, I need to look it up, but all I remember is at some point he picks up a pipe wrench to go, I guess, beat someone's ass with a pipe wrench. Or maybe he gets his ass beat with a pipe wrench.
He is wearing a leather jacket in the video, yeah, so you know he's like a gangster.
That's true. He's a greaser. Yeah. He's but there's a line where he picks it up and goes, I'm going to kick some ass with my own pipe wrench, take. And then he goes, it's just him. But he does have a pipe wrench. And every time I see a pipe wrench, that pops into my head. And I've yet to be able to kick some ass with my own pipe wrench. And, you know, I'm getting up there in age. So it's like, time's running out, man.
I don't even think I have access to a pipe wrench.
I'm sure I have access to one.
Never
I don't
mind.
Have my own.
Yeah, never mind. My own pipe wrench.
I should buy my own pipe wrench.
Yeah, you need it to beat some ass.
Just in case, you know. Look, hard times are coming for you, whoever's on the business end of my pipe wrench. You want to thank some patrons?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Me too. Let me find some.
Oh, God. We didn't lose all of them, did we?
No, we're holding strong.
Yeah, we're doing good. I just
pretty good. Yeah,
yeah. I just cashed us out the other day, and I was like, "Whoa!"
Yeah,
we're so doing it.
Look at all of you people. First new patron, and I haven't looked at this thoroughly, so maybe the only new patron is Harrison S.
Thank you, Harrison.
Not Harrison H. H is what Harrison starts with, and my brain was like, "Just do a loop."
It's a comic book character.
And H. Dense.
Thank you, H. Dense. I'll say the whole thing because I don't know.
It's literally, it's H-D-E-N-T-S, H. Dense, one word. thank you very much. Thank you to everybody. We've been doing pretty good Patreon-wise for a while, and that's really nice. And that's, we didn't do that. Y'all did, so.
because it's silly if we did it.
That would be, yeah, prohibitively expensive.
We'd have to pay taxes on our money we keep giving ourselves.
Yeah, and then we'd have to, we'd give a share of it away to Patreon to give it to us. It just doesn't seem feasible, really. We also have, I think we have two emails. Yes, we have two emails. First up is from Nate. The subject line is best pro wrestling summons. You mentioned in a recent episode that Chris Hero would be a great summon for the Rangers as he hits a rolling elbow out of nowhere. Who else would be your top summons? My top three would be Chikara Eddie Kingston, who hits you with a spinning back fist so hard It launches you into the future, which is a real angle that happened in Chikara. It was. look up the Archibald Peck saga, I guess, if you're wondering what that's about, where there was a time traveler. And they pulled off some wild stuff. Mike Quackenbush, apparently not a very good dude. But if you just watch the show, they, like, so he gets knocked back in time, or forward in time. And when he gets back, he saw something from the future that, like, scared him. And you don't know what that was. And then, like, 4 years later, after he had been killed in universe, he sees a in memoriam with him on it. And he came back for one show from the past. It's very well done. Number two, Cesaro with a surprise European uppercut out of nowhere. That would be
dope.
That's
a good one.
And Kenny Omega, under the condition that his V-trigger turns into a Kamigoye if the monster is kneeling at the time of the summon. I don't know what that is. I don't know what a Kamigoye is. Is that a Street Fighter move?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not familiar with Kenny Omega enough.
The V-trigger is when he...
it's just that knee, right? When he grabs your hands and pulls you into his knee.
Yeah, he pulls you. It's nice. It's a nice move. I don't know what this other... what a Kamigoye is. Let's see. Pro wrestling... some, I mean, it kind of depends on the theme of the season, but like a nice, like, Kairi Sane elbow,
that'd be a good one.
Just like that would be pretty good.
A Steve-O Reno Blue Thunder Bomb, which is very Texas specific,
but it would be pretty radical. I feel like if you could, if they're giants, then like that, who do I want to see as a giant version of themselves doing a move like in the city?
A giant Keith Lee
spirit bombing you so hard that you literally explode into dust and particles and your soul leaves your body.
He doesn't even have to turn away from the explosion. He looks at it.
Yeah. That's
the
real
from
cool
the
guy.
Moon. I don't
he's
know if you knew
the,
that
he's
about
from
Keith
the
Lee.
Moon. Keith Lee rules so
Does
much.
Does that make him a villain?
No. So sometimes you can just be from the moon, you know? Like...
I don't know. I don't have a lot of good guy experience on the moon.
We got one as Keith Lee, baby. We saw Keith Lee. I forget who it was. It was a triple threat match. One of the opponents was Orange Cassidy. I think it was the first time we saw Orange Cassidy, because he also had a match against Jojo Bravo that was so good. But it was Keith Lee and Orange Cassidy and someone else for the Pure Prestige title at Inspire Pro Wrestling. And Keith Lee spirit bombed Orange Cassidy so hard that I saw his soul leave his body. Like, I could see it come out of him, and he had to bounce up to catch it. It was amazing. Yeah, Keith Lee. I just also Angelus Lane. I feel like Angelus Lane also doing a back fist, which I don't know if she does, but I feel like is a very Angelus Lane move.
She should if she doesn't.
She should. She
I feel
really
like she
should.
Would crush a spinning back fist.
Absolutely. Those are my picks.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of.
I mean, like a nice like Edge spear, like just like here comes Edge, just like crushing you. Edge or Ricky Starks, the two best spears in the business. I don't know anybody else I would like need to have as a summon.
Yeah, I don't got anything else. I don't think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, and I'm like Daniel Bryan. I like him a lot, but I don't know if necessarily.
He's too little to be a summon.
He's just a solid hand. He's a real good hand. Next is from Jeremy. Subject line is, thank you, Nate, for the email. Subject from Jeremy is weirdness with the Dino Thunder White Ranger. Hey guys, just finished listening to the Strange Relations episode where you were wondering why Trent was turned good when his Sentai counterpart is evil until basically the very end of the season. Jeff Perrazzo gave an interview in 2005 where he said that it was Disney's fault that, one, Trent was turned good in Dino Thunder very early, and two, that the Trent-Kira relationship got dropped. So, yep, blame the big mouse for Trent spending 9 episodes doing nothing, as there was no Sentai footage of him on the Ranger's side. Between that and the whole, we didn't know the Triassic Ranger was going to be a power-up thing, it appears Dino Thunder went through a lot of heavy revisions and dropped storylines as the season went on.
I cannot believe... 10 seasons after they got surprised by Tommy.
They're still getting surprised
by
stuff.
They still let this happen.
I mean, and nowadays...
Also, the relationship with Kira has nothing to do with him being in the footage or not.
You would think, if anything, they could focus more on that if there's no footage of him, right? Like, but they just don't, to the point where they just they literally have Kira go, I'm going to go hit on that other boy.
Yeah, and Trent's like, yeah, go ahead.
And Trent's like, do it. Get it, girl. It's so weird. Like, this episode had a lot of Trent in it. It was like a kind of a Trent heavier episode. But we haven't had more than a minute and a half of Trent's screen time in like six episodes. Like,
yeah,
it's
this
been...
episode like triples his screen time.
Yeah. There's a thing that he says later on that I was like, I don't know if this is a meta commentary or not, but I'll bring it up when we get there. Do you want to jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, sorry. The end is just, that's all. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to SPD. Thank you, Jeremy. I'm also looking forward to SPD because it looks bonkers.
I didn't know anything about that. I knew Tommy came back, and I had seen that episode in the past. Like, I seeked that out on YouTube before the big purge.
Right.
But that was it.
That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. I was living with my mom at the time. So.
Yeah. So, the SPD, all I know is that it takes place in the future, which is weird. So I'm pretty excited about that. Even though we are rapidly approaching that future date, it's like 2025, I think. So we're getting closer every day. But also, I know that, is it Greg Aronowitz? I think it's Greg Aronowitz, is one of the showrunners, and he is a, like, special effects guy. Like, he does, like, special effects makeup and stuff, and, like, prosthetic builds and, like, you know,
oh,
stuff
SPD's
like that.
Oh, SPD's the one with the dog, isn't
yeah,
it?
There's, like, a dog man.
Okay.
And I'm pretty excited because, like, I've seen his stuff. I went to MineCon in 2013. And I went to a panel with him, and he was talking about Power Rangers. I had not seen SPD at that time, but he was like, yeah, I worked on Power Rangers. I was like, oh, really? Dope. So for like, then we started this show, and I was like, can't wait to finally see what he did in 8 years or so.
I guess it's year seven, right?
Yeah, we're just into year seven. We're like 3 months into year seven. Getting close to finding out what Greg was talking about. So that's
we'll know by
good.
The summer.
Yep, because only two more weeks of the show after this one, so that's wild.
And we got, what, a month probably of...
At least a month of bonus, so we definitely got to do another fan film. We got to watch another fan
film. Yeah, I know that, I'm cursed to live this for the rest of my life.
We've got a new ongoing bonus
cursed to walk
feature.
Alone inside this pit of danger.
How is it dangerous if no one's there, is all I'm saying. Are there spike
traps? I imagine
traps?
There's a lot of, like, guillotine, like, pendulums, right. You know. It's like the Shadow Temple.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. There's just a bunch of torture devices in a kid's game. Yeah.
And blood
everywhere. Shadow Temple and the Bottom of the Well are fucking wild, y'all.
They're from a different game.
They have
to
be.
You go
to
a different game for a minute when you go to the Kakariko Village.
They're from Turok 1.5. We start off with the boys playing soccer. The three of them. It's Connor versus Trent and Ethan, I think, or they're just kind of doing free-for-all.
I think it's a triple threat game.
Might be a triple threat. Ethan gets the... or no, not Ethan. Trent. Trent gets the ball away from Connor, does like a slide tackle, and then gets a score. And he's like, whoa, that was dope. Where'd you learn how to slide tackle like that? And he's like, I used to, when I was a kid, play soccer, and I guess I still have some moves. And I was like, that is weird that maybe that you would still have the muscle memory of soccer. But then again, maybe when you're a teenager, it's less of your life away. So maybe
that's true. He was only a kid a couple of years ago.
Exactly. So. So Connor's like, hey, you know what's cool about that is that I need a new soccer practice partner tomorrow, and you can do that. And Trent's like, I cannot do that. I have.
So they're like, here's a cool character thing for Trent. He can also do soccer like Connor. Hey, do you want to be my soccer buddy? No.
No, he's like, I can't tomorrow. I got to go meet. There's a graphic novel signing, which is how snooty people pronounce comic books.
Yeah.
There's a graphic novel signing tomorrow at Cyberspace or Cuberspace, as I guess I wrote in this. And the guy I like the most is going to be there. And so I got to go. And Ethan says, like, isn't that like your comic book god? And I was like, that sounds weird.
You could have said hero,
yeah,
idol,
like,
even.
Yeah, I feel like it feels real. It feels like a thing a teenager would say to another teenager sincerely. Yeah. So that is true. But, like, it just sounds weird.
But it doesn't feel like it's something that a Power Ranger would say.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, he's my favorite. I can't wait. And then the camera does this fun thing. It doesn't do anything, like, fancy. It goes from Connor to Ethan and Trent. It's a three shot. And it goes back to Ethan and Trent. And then it cuts over to Connor, and Principal Randall has Babadooked her way behind Connor. Yeah. She's just there, and she's like, I assume you have permission to be using the soccer field after school.
She says, I assume you have a permit?
A permit. They're go to the city? Did you get a permit?
They're building something here. They're just playing soccer.
Yeah, they're just kicking a little ball.
I'm pretty sure you just can do that. Our school... like facilities, are these not public?
I mean, the outside areas? Ones, I feel like are if you already go to the school, I feel like they're a little public.
Well, I feel
right?
like in the town I lived in Athol, and then at like, and we would see it a lot in Texas too, driving by the school, just people just walking the track,
yeah,
or just like out in the field throwing a frisbee or something.
Yeah,
proper permits?
Who knows? Maybe they're you're supposed to get permits, but nobody's really as strict about it as Principal Randall.
Also, I realize now too when she's like bullying them about permits to play soccer, I was like, they have not used Principal Randall nearly enough.
No, I think they kind of once we found out that Principal Randall was Elsa, they kind of dropped Principal Randall, which I feel like you should do the opposite now that we know she's like actively evil
they
and not
interact
just like
a lot more because dramatic irony is like a writing tool that you can use.
And like it would be good to be like, we know that she's bad and she wants the Power Rangers to do bad and suffer. And then they have to overcome that. And that could be fun. And there could also be a lot of like, are they going to find out? Are they going to? Because everything she does basically since then, there's no way for them to even consider that she might be evil, like a real evil person, because she just shows up for 1 second and then leaves.
All she has to do is give them detention, right?
Yeah.
And then Mezigog can send a monster while Principal Randall stays in the detention room with the Power Rangers and just like stares at them the whole time.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
How are you gonna act? Yeah.
And they're like, we really have to go. And she's like, no, you can go. When detention's over
at 3:30 when detention's done. So she's like, do you have a permit? And Connor reaches into his stinky soccer foot and he pulls a permit out of his shoe and he gives it to her, which is number one, nasty, but number two, a real power move, huh?
Yeah. He's got such a big grin on his face too. He's like, oh, I got the permit.
Oh, I got a stinky permit.
I knew
for
you were gonna ask for this. I stunk it up for you.
It's on his stand. She's like, everything looks to be in order. Maybe you should get some antifungal. And then she leaves.
Did this inspire her new plan?
I didn't put that together until just now, but it does cut right from there to her going, I made a stinky thing.
And Mezigog is like, that stinks so bad, Elsa.
It stinks both physically and emotionally, I bet. And she's like, yeah, I have a plan, and I had to make a stinky thing, but I'm also going to, from the permit that I just got served, I'm going to use that, because the pen is mightier than the sword.
And what is the stinky thing she made?
I guess the pen is stinky, or maybe...
Does this pen smell bad?
It's a stinky pen, which would be really bad, because in a minute she's like, use my stinky pen, and he's like, okay... And I feel like if it was like a stinky pen, I'd be like, I will use this. And then the second she was gone, I'd be like, this is going in the trash can. But we cut from there to cyberspace where his name Carson Brady. It's Carson something. I don't remember his last name. He's doing a comic signing for a comic book that looks like it was made in the 90s. And this is 2004. That's all the observations I have on the very limited what we have for his little comic book setup. But a lot of people are there in costume, and I feel like the writers think that, like, anytime a comic is involved, it is Comic-Con, baby. Like, it is...
Well, yeah, because here come Devin and Cassidy.
This is the wildest, because they're not even dressed as things from his book. They think that, like, you go to a comic con, just dress up. Just do what you want.
in their own OC cosplay,
which number one is hilarious. And like, and hey, the likelihood of this ever happening, like currently it's zero because there's a global pandemic, but if I'm ever at a signing, dress up like whatever you want. Like, yeah. that would be hilarious. But it doesn't happen in real life. But I fully encourage it. But like, normally, if you were to do this, you would cosplay like a character from the comic or another work that they've done that you like.
If the writer of Batman is there signing comic books, you don't come in dressed as just like anything.
You don't come in dressed like Spider-Man.
You don't come in like the dollar store like super heroine costume.
Yeah, so Cassidy looks like and you've watched.
She looks like a fembot in a mask.
She looks a little bit like a fembot in a mask. Have you seen, I assume at this point, you've seen all of I Love Lucy, I have to imagine.
Not all of it, a pretty fair chunk of it.
Does I Love Lucy, does she ever dress up, or I just assume her name is I Love Lucy. Does she ever dress up like
Lucy Ricardo?
Like a maid? Like, does she ever get a job as like a maid, like a fancy hoity-toity maid?
And her regular clothes are maidish.
They are a little maidish. Because I feel like the outfit that Cassidy is wearing is literally, what if I Love Lucy was a superhero who was also a maid? Very much like that. Devin
is
dressed.
She did meet Superman in an episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I haven't seen that one. Wild. But it's one that they colorized within the last couple of years.
Oh, boy. That always looks great when they do that. Devin is dressed like store brand Robin from the 1966 Batman
show.
Yes,
Bird Boy. The Bird Boy costume.
Yeah. he's Blue Jay. Actually, I think Blue Jay is a superhero now. Is like a new sidekick of Batman. Or maybe
he's like a dick that beats up other bird-based superheroes.
Yeah. No, I think her name is Blue Bird, not Blue Jay. Because if they were like, you're gonna be Blue Jay, she's like, cool, I'm gonna kick Robin's ass. He's like, can I see you? I hope Chickadee doesn't show up here. I'm gonna eat all his suet.
Leave the Chickadees alone.
Leave the Chickadees alone. Blue Jays. Blue Jays are real jerks. So yeah, they're dressed like a maid and her assistant, Robin, but not Robin. And he's the Chickadee. That's what Devin's dressed as. She has a big C on her chest. That's going to come into play much later. Just keep that in mind. Because she's Cassidy.
Yeah.
You understand.
yeah, I get it. It was subtle, but I picked it up.
So Devin is worried. They're undercover, technically, because they're doing a story on, an interview of comic book fan culture, and so they're trying to like blend in, right?
Sure.
Which maybe that's why they're not dressed like characters, because they just think you dress up, and everybody else here is dressed as like wildly disparate things that don't look like they're from the same books at all, so it's hard to tell. But Devin is worried that his tights are going to cut off his circulation to his whole legs, and you know, fair. And then, so some guy dressed like an alien is like, he does like a hello, thank you sign kind of hand gesture.
He like rubs
Carson.
His tummy and then holds his hand up.
Like, it's not a high five. It's like a pitched high five. Like, if you wanted to high five, you'd have to bend your hand back and high five under it.
Yeah.
You know?
And Carson doesn't understand the reference.
So clearly, it's not a thing from his comic. Then so that guy leaves, and then next up is, I almost called him Jeff because I keep calling characters their actors' names. Trent comes up, and Trent's like, hey, I'm a big fan. And he pulls out like a bagged comic, and he's like, this is a first edition. It's actually called first printing. It's not first edition. That's fine.
It's not a trading card, Carson.
Yeah, right. It's not a book. It's not Lord of the Ring. All right.
It's not the science book that Connor takes his victims to.
That's a first edition if I've ever seen one. And he's like, thanks. Like, he's like, yeah, I've been following your stuff from the beginning. Presumably since I was a baby, because who knows how long Carson's been doing comics. And he's like, oh, awesome. And then he's like, you're what inspired me to draw comics. And then this is where this gets into like weird, like teenager fantasy territories. He's like, that's great, I'd love to see your comic work someday. Or not someday, he just says like, I'd love to see your homework, like if you have it right now I'll take the time, which like a lot of comic artists will absolutely do, but at a signing they're busy signing, so like they can't, you know, just stuff what they're doing.
Like a whole line behind Trent.
There's a lot of people here for this comic book that I genuinely do not know what it's about.
No, it's just a like generic superhero comic, I think. I don't even remember what it was called. But I feel like Trent came up through the middle of the line.
Yeah, he definitely cut.
It is my turn.
He's like, I work here. I'm giving him some gotcha. I'm getting my shit signed.
This mango fruit smoothie's for me.
Get wrecked. he's like, oh, you would like to say that's awesome. And he's like, yeah, I like to like encourage new artists. He's like, can you tell my dad to do that too? And he's like, let me guess. He doesn't think being a comic artist is a good choice. And he's like, Trent says he thinks it lands somewhere between reality show host and dog walker. Let me tell you, one of those pays a lot more than the other one.
That is a wide
That's a
range.
Big gap.
I would love to be a reality show host. Are you kidding me?
Same. I think, to this day, I think that if they reboot Legends of Hidden Temple, I am the perfect Kurt Frog replacement.
What if they just hired Kirk Fogg again?
Because he's so old, though. Will his old man hips let him get in that harness and rappel down from the ceiling?
He's not swinging into the set anymore.
See, I'm still spry enough. I could swing into the set. I could make fun of these kids to their face. I could embarrass these children on television.
ask them questions they are not prepared for.
I think I would be much better than Kurt Frog because he really just flusters every kid he gets a chance to. Anthony Carboni was who's like a podcast host, and he hosts like a science show and like the Star Wars show. He was on it. He was on Legends of Hidden Temple, and he did a podcast a little while ago.
He's on it as Tony, I believe.
He's Tony, yeah. And he's talking. He did a podcast interview where he talked about his experience, and he says that they gave him a bunch of questions to like prepare for, so that when he got there and Kurt Frog asked him what these you know about him, he would have something to say. And he didn't ask any of those questions. He just asked him new stuff. And so he was so blindsided. And he was like 9 when you're not, historically speaking, quick on your feet. And he's like, yeah, it was – because he's talking about like how he liked to paint. But he looks so like unsure that he's ever painted before. Because he's like, I was trying to think of like this is not anything like – I thought they were going to ask me about Transformers or whatever. I think I would do a better job than Kurt Frog, who is likes to make children cry, I think.
Just likes to fluster them before they compete in a competition.
Yeah, before grown adults grab them and scare them, you know? Like, or they fall into a river. So, anyway, he's like, your dad will come around eventually. My dad didn't at first, but then he saw how happy he made me and he came around.
But then I made a lot of money, and so he loves it now.
So he thinks it's great. And then Trent's like, awesome. And I don't know if he leaves or gets pushed out of the way by Principal Randall, who's doing some, I think it's like a sexy accent is what she's trying.
It's so weird because it's like sexy 50s housewife, news anchor.
It's very much, it's so weirdly stilted. She's like, I love how you draw your little pictures.
I love how you like, draw your little bucks.
And I was like, is she flirting? I think so. And then she's like, here's a pen from me. Promise me you'll use it on your next book. He's like, thank you. I can never have enough pens. And I was like, you don't draw with like a fountain pen. No. Like, you don't draw a comic book
like
with
like
a
you can see the
big
loose ink in the chamber in the middle.
It has like this thing on the end that clearly is just like the props department like found a little like foam triangle, shoved the back of a pen into it, and like that is what it is because it looks weird. And apparently it's really stinky. And it's just like, it's just weird. It's just really weird.
It's odd, yeah. It's a really weird interaction.
And she's like, promise me you'll use it. He's like, yeah, okay, I promise. And then we cut from there. Or no, so she leaves, and Cassie's like, oh, I didn't know Randall was such a big comic fan. And Devin's like, yeah, either that or she's like a super villain secretly. And Cassie's like, geez.
I want us to remember two things here for the end of this episode, okay? Remember, A, that Cassidy and Devin saw Principal Randall give him this pen.
Yeah.
Okay. That might not super come up, that those two specifically, because they don't necessarily know where the pen is going to go and what it's going to do.
Right, right.
But she introduces herself to Carson as, "I am Principal Randall. Here is a pen from me to you."
Yeah, like it's a little bit like, I'm flirting with you, and I'm going to do that by trying to get, like, a hold of maybe, like, a authority fantasy that you have, I guess, yeah. By saying I'm Principal Randall.
Yeah, you know how you are older than me and graduated school before I did, but clearly, I'm the principal now, and so you must obey and use my pen.
Isn't that something you're into? Anyway, draw with this pen. And he's like, okay, ma'am.
Have you seen my skirt? Okay, goodbye.
All right, see you later. Devin just correctly predicts what Randall's all about, and she's like, you need to stop watching so much TV. Then we cut to that night, and it's time, Josh, it's time yet again for everyone's favorite new segment.
What was that?
That was the movie horn sound effect here.
Oh, boom.
So kind of like the ominous, like,
I
yeah.
see, yeah. It's like at the end of every movie trailer.
Yeah, it's like a feature on the ham horn app. So, which I can. Hey, do you guess what I found out?
Oh, what? I can't wait.
On the ham horn app, there is a. How many times have you ham horned? Can you guess how many times I have hit the ham horn button?
Like 600.
Ooh, you're shy. It's you're under 809 as of that last one.
doesn't surprise me, really.
I love a ham horn.
Is that the total number across the entire app, every different kind of horn?
I think it is, yeah. I don't think it's just the horn, right? I mean, it's every time I've pressed the button,
so every time that it went ham, that was
ham. That counts, yeah. There's also, let's see, what else do we got while I just have it open? So there's obviously rap air horn,
sure.
There is the new ham. This is different. They had to update because I think the other one was like a clip from Parks and Rec. So now it's just like a guy saying ham.
Ham.
Then there's the movie horn. Pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome.
There's a classic.
Well, that one we could utilize more, I think.
I didn't know it was in there until today. The Wilhelm.
Okay.
Just a man screaming. And then finally, this one is just called Uncle Nick. I don't think I've ever tried this one out. Let's find out. Someone's Uncle Nick.
That's your Uncle Nick laughing in the background at Thanksgiving.
Doing a little Thanksgiving Day laugh. The traditional laugh. Anyway, it's time to figure out everyone's favorite segment. What is the timeline of this episode? Because he leaves, right? Presumably, because we cut to that night where he, in a frantic kind of fever dream-esque, it's like, what if David Lynch directed a Power Rangers episode about a guy drawing a comic book really quick? He draws a comic book really quick and doesn't remember it the next day. And it's about the Power Rangers. And I have some questions that we'll get to, but he thinks it's great. And, you know, that good, at least he's proud of it. Because then the next day he wakes up with no memory of it, it seems like. And he'll say that he, like, barely remembers making it later. And then we cut to Ethan and Connor practicing soccer, which, if you'll remember, was supposed to be tomorrow. When the guy was signing, but he was signing the day before. Unless this is 2 days later. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I got nothing.
They just need someone on the show to say, hey, which day is this again? And yeah, like, that's it.
If someone could just say, hey, the dialogue matters, because this is like a universe that these people do live in.
Yeah. If you're writing a story, if you're writing a thing for television, right, you got to go quick. We all get that. But have a whiteboard in the office where you can write little notes on and just write timeline and just have that on there that you can write day one. It's soccer time, but he can't tomorrow. The next day he does this and they also have to play soccer that day because he said tomorrow. Then the next day again, the signing is over. Trent still doesn't want to play soccer, I guess? Is that? It's just hard to tell a lot of the time.
And also, I guess Ethan and Connor had to reschedule?
Maybe. And so, but Ethan is actually pretty good. Because Kira and Tommy are just watching.
They're on the sidelines, like, cheering?
And Kira's like, wow, Ethan actually has some game. You don't think he was hit with a personality swapping meteor again, do you? And Tommy's like, I don't think so. Which again, little, I like the little continuity remembrances. If only they could figure out what the continuity of the day was.
If they could only do that within the one episode.
Yeah.
That would be great.
And then Connor scores, and when it hits the soccer ball hits the soccer net, it turns into chalk zone, and everything goes white. And except for like the trees are like black, and it's like a drawing, like a newspaper drawing.
Yeah, like an outline of the background. It looks really cool while there are still people.
When they're people, I dig it. They come together. Kira says the weirdest thing, which is, Dr. O, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah,
like he's giving a presentation.
It's so funny because Connor looks back at Ethan, who just shrugs like, I don't know. It seems like some Power Ranger to me. I don't know.
He's like, hey, it's a Power Ranger thing,
and
I guess.
And then Kira turns to Tommy and is like, Dr. O, your thoughts on this?
Your thoughts? And he's like it looks like it's drawing. It's just like so stilted and weird. And I was like, did no one come up with a better? That sounds like a placeholder sentence that they just never got around to fixing. So they come together and they're like, whoa, this is weird. And then there is this like stark line. There's like a thick black line going down the world, I guess.
Yeah, it's from panel to panel. They're crossing panels.
And so they go,
they're the comic zone, baby.
They're like, let's walk through that. That's probably safe and fine. And they do. And now they're in the Aha music video. If I made the Aha music video in 2003 with Pinnacle Studios using the give it the weird pencil shading effect on the whole thing, this is literally an effect that you can click in the very, very old and not very good film editing program Pinnacle Studios.
Yeah, it's just like a bad Photoshop filter.
It is just, yeah. It looks bad because it makes them blurry, but it draws some of their not all of it, some of their outlines. The mouths are ghoulish. The faces, looking at the faces with this on there is bad to do. I don't like doing it. I don't like looking at the faces with this filter on.
Yeah, it's not good. Nothing. There's like you said, there's like a little bit of lines on them, but there's no detail.
No. It's like
this is what my dreams look like.
Were we talking about this the other day? On Twitter or something. Maybe it was on I don't know. Time is, who knows what it is anymore. My dreams are, that's what it is. We were talking about the
how do you imagine an apple?
How do you imagine things? Yeah. And like mine is poorly. Cause like when I think of an apple, I can sort of see the apple, but it's mostly like I am thinking about what the idea of an apple is, right?
Yeah.
And like if I think about the color, it's not red, it is the idea of red. It's just like brain color, right? And some people can just like close their eyes and see whatever they want, and that's pretty cool. And then apparently the same thing goes for like your inner voice, which is just my dumb voice, but in my head. So I don't know if anybody else's is different. Hopefully it's not my voice in there. That seems like that would be pretty rough, but...
The voice in my head is a woman.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
That always has been.
That's
my imaginary friend when I was a kid was a girl, and I guess that voice just stuck with me.
That makes sense. My imaginary friend when I was a kid was a girl, and I don't know if my voice is. It's mostly just my voice. I'm trying to like think and talk at the same time, and it's not really working because you can't hear me think on a podcast, which is great. My biggest nightmare is just like. This is like, no, this is the only place where it's just for me.
Yeah, I need a place for me, thank you.
But so we were talking about that, and then that kind of got onto dreams. My dreams are, they're not out of focus, but it's like I'm not allowed to look at anything, so like I can't really focus on anything for very long, and the outsides are literally blurry like a cartoon dream sequence. Like I just cannot see the outsides. I have no field of vision.
Yeah, mine is literally, it's just like this, pretty much. There's like, you can tell what things are, but there's no details.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is weird. And then they put that on film, and I was like, don't like looking at it.
Did your... I don't know if I've ever talked about this before. It doesn't happen that much anymore. Have your dreams ever had credits at the end?
No.
Mine
do yours? Do yours roll? You roll credits on your dreams?
Not all the time, but there was one time where I was in like a Street Fighter dream where I was like doing Street Fighter stuff, and then like at the end, like the credits rolled, but you couldn't read anything. It was just like the shape of credits scrolling.
Right. Is that? Do you think that's like your dream being like, and now we're gonna wrap it up, or is it like in the dream you dreamt about the credits of the Street Fighter game, or has it happened during other things?
I can't remember if I woke up after the credits or not, or what happened after they were done.
After they rolled, you just have to sit there and
there, and then the screen turns blue until you wake up.
When I was a kid, I could lucid dream, like I could be like, "This is a dream," and then just do whatever I want. And now, if I do get a good enough handle on the dream that I think, like, this might be a dream, there's also a part of me that's like, but if it's real life, you can't act weird. Like, you, like...
just play it cool.
It might be a dream, but you don't know, man. So that's fun. anyway, they're in a weird dream sequence. The mouths, I think, are the worst part to look at, because it, like, the outlines will come and go as they talk, and, like, their eyeballs have, like... are drawn on, but it's only like their eyebrows and like some parts. It's really hard to look at. It's not good. I don't remember what he says. Tommy does mention, like, indirectly the storybook episode.
Yeah, he says something about like, my experience with dimensions like this is not good.
Yeah, which is a storybook episode. And if you remember that episode, they just like had a little set that looked bad, but it wasn't just like, put a filter over it, hope for the best. Then we cut back to the juice bar. Cyberspace. It's a juice bar. Whatever.
It's really like a soda bar.
It's a soda. It's a malt shop. I guess.
Slash arcade there. Slash lounge
slash internet cafe. I guess. It's a lot of things there. They also have satellite TV.
Yeah.
So what more could a kid ask for?
You can watch Super Sentai on it.
Yeah. Also, that is it is a place for kids. And Carson's there again, and not signing this time. He's just hanging out now. And I get that it's the only place that you have that is like this on your sets, but it is supposed to be a teen hangout, and you shouldn't have adults just go there, you know?
Well, he's here. No, that's later, that he's looking for Trent. No, it is now. This is where he gives him the advanced copy.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because this one random kid from his signing really, like, struck a nerve with him. Really, like, stuck out.
Actually, maybe that's in a minute. My note is very unhelpful. It just says Carson likes his work. So I guess we cut to him saying, did you like my work, Carson? And Carson going, yes. And that's it. But I do not remember that happening.
No, I remember after when he gives it to Trent, I think he says, like, this is my best work. Or he's like, I've never done any better than this.
That's in a minute, though. And maybe this note is just me. Maybe I've typed something out of order. I don't know.
Yeah, I think. The his in that sentence is referring back to Carson. Maybe?
But it says Carson likes his work. So if he's like, oh, maybe Carson's like, I do like my own work. This
Carson
is the best
likes
one.
Carson his
Yeah, okay,
his
that
new
makes
work.
Sense.
Yeah.
I wish I would have written that down better. We come back to Connor, who's like, Ethan, you like comics? What's going on? And Ethan's like, usually I just read them and I don't go into them, so I don't know, Connor. I don't have the same information you do.
I've done this as many times as you have.
And then a monster shows up, and her name is Phrygia. And she does have nipples, if you were wondering. She's super duper. They're a little blurry because of the filter, but later on, spoilers, they will not be anymore. And this lady monster just has nipples. They start fighting. It's full on Take on Me, the video. They morph and they rotoscope, like the morph. I say rotoscope, it's the same filter. They didn't pay anyone to rotoscope this. That would be bananas. But it's the same filter, even the morph sequence, which is a nice touch at least. Then we cut to, for no, literally no reason at all until the very end, Anton Mercer just looking at some of Trent's drawings, and that's it. He's just looking through them.
It looks like he was going through like a folder or something, and they were in there.
It's like he just like took some stuff off Trent's desk and then was just like looking through what he's been drawing. Yeah. Also, I have to blow my nose. Excuse me.
Okay, get it.
I'm muting this time.
While you're doing that, I'm going to look at Phrygia's nipples. Because I didn't see them the first time.
They're just bright blue right where your nipples go.
Just big blue. They're a little high.
They're a little perky.
They're a little perky.
But they are.
But yeah.
They are just.
This big old Batman Forever just, nipples on this monster.
Just straight up nipples on this sexy lady monster. I just Googled it too to see if I'm like, maybe I'm remembering it incorrectly. And the tiny little like preview is like, no, you can see the nipples from like, they are definitive. Like, you know, it's little and you can still tell that there are just like two nipples on here. It's a weird choice that whoever, when they were making Abba Ranger, they're like, what if we have a cold lady who just has nipples?
Because you know how like your nipples get hard when it's cold.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the joke.
Is she cold powered?
Her name is Phrygia, so I have to assume, but she doesn't do anything chilly. No,
she does make it snow. She does make it snow.
Okay.
For no reason and to no end. She makes it snow in a panel of the comic book they're stuck in.
Other than her hard diamond shaped nipples.
Cut diamonds with those things.
Oh gosh. She's also got a thong on if you check out the concept art.
Fantastic.
So that's cool. Someone was horny when they made this.
We burned through Rude Elf, but we let Phrygia get her own episode.
Hey, you know, it's what the people want. The people what they want. He's looking through the Mercer looks through the drawings and he like smiles like he's coming around to him. He's on a phone. We don't hear him make a phone call, he just has the phone in his hand. Cut to later. Carson comes into cyberspace looking for Trent. This is what we're talking about. He gives him the Dino Thunder comic. And he's like, here's an advanced copy of a, like, 120-page graphic novel. Like, it is huge. He's like, here's the manuscript, I guess.
But it's just the artwork. There's no words.
It's not colored. It's just, like, the inks, the pencils and inks, which he did with a regular pen on, like notebook. Pen. It was on, like, it's on, like, printer paper, too, which is not, it's not how you do that.
Hey, don't question his process.
Yeah, you got me.
He was very sweaty while he was drawing. Literally poured his sweat into this.
He's like, I gotta get this out now. I'm out of Bristol board. I have a bunch of printer paper. I'm just gonna do it on that. It'll be fine. So then we cut back to the Power Rangers fighting, and I guess Tommy is just fighting Phrygia.
I'll be real with you, Jake. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't really remember this part.
These are the worst notes I've ever taken. I'm just going to read this note. Maybe it'll help you because it means nothing to me. Tommy asks for help. We cut back to them. And then Phrygia does have nipples. And then Tommy asks for help and they talk about how they might be in there.
Yeah, so Trent is reading through, he's looking through, there is, I guess, text in these, because he's flipping through the rough draft,
okay.
And he sees the panel that says, Trent, we need your help, and we see that after Tommy says it for real.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. I was like, what is that? Like, they talk about how they
immediately Trent is like, I think they're in there.
Which is nice. I like that he does that, right? He's like, this seems like a Power Ranger thing. Like, you wouldn't just... First of all, are you allowed to draw Power Ranger comics in the Power Ranger universe? Like, you don't own... I know the Power Rangers secret identities, but you don't own the rights to them. Like, so I guess they can't sue you because then they would have to reveal their identities.
Yeah, that's the loophole.
So maybe that's the trick? It seems rude. It seems like a dick move at the very least.
Well, he didn't do it on purpose. He was possessed by an evil pen.
This is true. Haley comes up and she's like, Trent, what's going on? And he's like, so that's who he's talking about. He's talking with Haley
about how
they might be in there. Yeah.
He shows her the pictures and she's like, wow, that's weird. What? She does what I do. And she's like, what's the last page say?
And he goes, the Power Rangers don't survive.
He said, they die.
Bum, bum, bum. Cut to commercial. What a bummer comic that would be, huh?
Yeah, how can he be so proud of this?
Maybe he's like, it's so subversive. Yeah. No one's going to see this coming. It's gonna be critically hailed for being dark and gritty, actually.
Yeah, this is years before Shadow the Hedgehog.
It was actually after Shadow the Hedgehog. That was like 2003.
Was it?
Sonic Adventure 2 Battle? I feel like it had to be close because that was on the GameCube, which I got in 2002.
Shadow the Hedgehog.
And I feel like I had it for a while. I feel like I played a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog Adventure 2 Battle style.
Oh, no, that's the character. I want the game. 2005.
2005, okay.
So technically, this is years. Pre-Shadow.
Dang. So maybe that's what he was thinking. We go to commercial, we come back, and Trent's like, why am I not in here? And Haley goes, maybe it's some sort of sick plan to make you watch the Power Rangers die before. And I said to myself out loud, no, Trent, it's because the writers forget to put you in things. Like, it's a meta commentary on how you weren't in the last six episodes, basically. So he runs off to go find them. Jake, what the fuck were you doing when you took these notes, my man? This is, I guess, the theme of the episodes. The other day, Shannon posted her notes for Kingdom Smarts, like her like early notes and then her later notes.
How it's going.
Yeah, which are handwritten. So like it's at, like her latest notes are just like, they look like doctor signatures, right? And then Big was like, now I wonder what PWT and Morphin Grid notes look like. And I just took a screenshot and I was like, Morphin Grid notes are me writing stuff down and hoping I remember to say something better when I get there. And today that is not happening, I guess.
I'll have to seek that out and post a screenshot. Mine are wildly inconsistent in like what I do and do not shorthand.
Yeah.
sometimes I type everything all the way out. Other times it's like, I'll remember.
Yeah, I do a lot of like White Ranger, like Evil White Ranger, just like WR, because I want to write White Ranger every time. And sometimes I just write Gog as Mezagog. But like, it's usually like, here's a quick like bit about what I'm saying. And then sometimes I write, he leaves to find the Carso Rangers get beat up. What? What, Jake? What does that mean?
That seems like two separate notes. He leaves to find Carson. Next note, the Rangers get beat up.
That is what it is. Josh, you are a savant at this. Your calling is translating my dumbass notes when I type too quick. Connor goes Triassic. Does he accomplish that?
He's about to. They're like, is it Triassic time? He's like, yeah. And then Phrygia just shoots them.
She's like, no word. Trent finds Carson. And he's like, hey, why did you draw this comic? And he's like, I don't know. It was a fugue state. I basically like blacked out and wrote it in a fever dream. And he's like, you can't publish this. And he's like, fuck you, I can't. It's the best work I've ever done. Nothing's going to stop me from printing that.
He's like, I like you, kid, but I will kill you where you stand if you try to take this comic away from me.
It's such a wild turn from, I don't remember even writing it, basically, to, I will die for this. And so will you. And he's like, okay, take a step back then. And he's like, okay. And then Trent morphs in front of him because like, he's like, "Who? No one cares about me being the White Ranger, so I'm just going to do it." And then Carson's like, is this a trick? And he's like, Doc, I just morphed in front of you. No, I'm the White Power Ranger. And number
What's
one.
What's the trick?
It's mirrors.
It's how they smoke in mirrors.
Wow! one of my favorite theme songs ever. So he's like, number one, you didn't draw me in this, and that hurts my feelings. And number two, I had to morph to show you I'm a Power Ranger, and that if you print this, I will step on you with a robot.
Also, thank God he didn't draw Trent in the comic where the Power Rangers die.
But well, see, you say that, but then Trent's like, give me the pen. Because he's like, yeah, I drew it with this pen. And he's like, give me that pen. And he's like, okay. And then Trent. And
he's like, let me fix this in the comments for you.
Yeah. which hey, don't ever do this. There was a thing going around a little while ago, like relatively recently, of someone like drawing over people's art and just be like, I fixed it. And basically it's like, I made this black character white. And it's like, wow, that's fucking racist. And also, just don't ever do that, like, for any reason. Any of these reasons that you've done, just don't do it. But so Trent is like, I'm just going to draw me in here. I'm going to self-insert myself into your comic, if that's okay.
I think he changes the ending, too. Like, he has to.
I thought he just drew himself in front of Tommy and the other Rangers and was like, now I can help now.
And then on the last page he wrote, and we win, the end.
He just scratched out, they're dead. He's like, they're great.
They're doing fine.
So he chalk zones into the comic book. And now that he's in there, there's five Rangers, and that's all. Now they can win. they go super dino mode.
That's why I feel like he redrew the last few pages so that he just came in and killed the monster.
You forgot about the coolest character, the White Ranger. maybe what he did is he just drew super dino mode on them. He just extended all the little spikies and was like, now they're more powerful. Now they can probably do it.
I got to put me in there, and then that's all good.
So they get in there. They all go super dino mode. Trent does his like his weird little floppy laser whips with his like the spikes that come out of his wrist, and then they use their dino gems to melt her. And I don't know why they keep doing this with the dino gems. Like they,
I don't know.
I don't. It's so weird.
It feels like they use them to power up Trent to like fire this like fireball at her, but then they all fire the like the melty beam at her. So I don't know. I don't know what happened here.
Because like a couple episodes ago, remember when they were just like, use your dino gems and all of the Triptoids will just die. And they did that. Mm-hmm. And then now they're like, also it shoots lasers. What can it do? What can't the dino gems do, Josh? So they win. They pop out of the comic. And Carson's like, that's a much better ending. And I'm like, is it? If I was reading this comic and it was like, all of a sudden the White Ranger shows up and they like, all the kill her with a laser. I'd be like, hey, this kind of seems like it came out of nowhere. It's like I'm watching an episode of Power Rangers where at the end, the White Ranger just shows up or Connor goes Triassic mode. Doesn't feel like a satisfying ending either way. So then Phrygia, like they pop out and Phrygia is also out. She's like, you didn't defeat me and now I'm in the real world. And now you can clearly see my high def nipples. And here we go. So then Connor Triassic's up and then he muscle butts up. And now it's a Connor episode and he does a yo-yo and a cannon and she dies.
his Go-Go Gadget arms out and grabs her ankles and like pulls her in. And it's just like, hello, and just like kicks her away again.
And then he's like, yo-yo.
And then he yo-yos her and she dies.
And they're like, hooray, we love it when you do that. And Carson's like really impressed by this because he hasn't watched a lot of Power Rangers episodes, I guess. Trent's like, hey, real quick, I'm going to destroy this pen. And then he does. He like throws it in the air and then he draws. Like, I thought he was going to like, you know, with his sword, like slash it. But he just points the tip of it at it and it shoots a laser and it seems weird.
Seems like it could have done something. Yeah, he didn't even do his like arrow attack where he has to like draw the arrows out. He just shoots it with his dagger.
He just draws a dot
like
and that dot is a laser.
He's a teenage alien fighter from Beverly Hills.
Just, pew 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 pew. So then we cut to Elsa and Mezogog. And she's like, oh, they're going to ruin our plans. And Mezogog's like, no one ruins my plans. And I'm like, what plan, Mezogog? What plans have you had recently?
He has not come up with anything. He just sits around and is mad because Elsa's plans don't work.
This is Elsa's plan, and it's already ruined Elsa. Like, it's already over because they killed the monster. Like, your plan was do a monster, and I guess your plan was make a pen, and the pen is gone. Doesn't threaten
to
ruin your plans.
Do you think the explosion smelled bad?
It was probably a pretty stinky explosion.
Probably smelled like gym socks. Ugh.
Yeah, it smelled like gym socks and like pee, probably.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that weird Subway pee smell whenever you go. And you're like, yeah, I guess a lot of homeless people pee down here because it's more private than just the street, but.
You mean like the underground train and not the sandwich shop.
I mean, it's kind of the same. They're kind of the same. The sandwich place also kind of smells like pee. And a lot of people just accept it and keep eating there. Then we cut to cyberspace, and I don't know how much later this is, but Trent and Carson did a comic together.
This has to be at least like months in advance.
Like at least minimum 1 month later. Like the two of you drawing a comic together Maybe you could bust that out in 14 days.
Is
but like,
this the comic that Trent changed the ending? Is it that same comic? But I mean, but we still get, like, he had to shop it around because his normal publisher didn't like that he collaborated with a nobody.
Yeah, which is, like, weird. Because, first of all, no one on the writing team knows how comics works at all. Like, obviously, right? But, like, yeah, he says, like, yeah, oh, my normal publisher was, like, he didn't like that I was working with a nobody. And it's like, okay, why did you do it, though? Like, this, how did you do this quickly? Because, like, and like manga, like, they draw like a like 17 to 20 page manga every week, like a new chapter every week, which is bananas. But a lot of them have like assistants to help with like backgrounds and shading and like do all like the other stuff, so like they just like crank it out. It's still extremely impressive. These two guys I don't think did that quick, so we're looking at like, I'm saying 1 month minimum, which is what is the timeline on this? And then he's like, yeah, and he didn't want to pay for it, so it was bankrolled by...
Some guy.
Yeah, it's like a corporate guy, I think he said. And he's like, oh, yeah, Anton Mercer, seems like a nice guy. And Trent like smiles to himself, he's like, that's my dad.
That's my dad.
You are my dad. You're my dad. And then Devin and Cassidy come in again, still dressed like Cassidy... And
what
the chickadee.
What is the timeline here?
See, I know, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense. They come in dressed like their characters again.
Devin is a little bit like, hey, why are we still doing this?
You haven't let take this off in 3 days.
Because I guess this is like a new comic book signing, so they're wearing their comic book costumes to it again.
If it's a month later, she should have published the story by now. She should not need to follow up.
It's a very in-depth story, Jake.
I guess. And she's like,
a lot of field research has to go into this comic book story she's writing. It's her magnum opus, Jake.
It's not a lot of money in comics journalism. I can tell you that for free. But Devin, his actor's name is like Tom something. I should really know this. He's a treasure. He's a delight.
He's very good.
He's so fun. But he said something like, I'm really sick of wearing these tights. Can we not do the same work as? She's like, unlike you, I'm suited to the superhero life. And I just need a name. She's got a big C on her chest. She has a C on her little headband. And she's like, what name should I go with? And Kira, Ethan, and Connor are near her. And I forget what they call it. One was like Kira, super ego.
Akira says super snob, and I think super Connor snob. Says mega ego or something that. Ethan, because Cassidy is his friend now, doesn't say anything.
No. And she's like, I was thinking more like Fantasta Girl. You will notice that the only letter taken out of Fantastic is the C on her chest.
Oh, well, yeah, that's where it went.
The C on your planet, it's a C, but on mine, it stands for fantastic.
It's a symbol, not a letter.
Super Cassidy? Like, nothing?
Well, no, because then everyone would just know it's Cassidy.
Everyone already knows it's Cassidy. But, like, it's so weird. It's
You're
going like,
to buy into the kayfabe, Jake.
Fantastic Girl. And I was like, there's not a C. You deliberately took the C out of that, what that could have been. And then a guy breaks in. He's like, help, my bike's been stolen. And the Rangers all jump up to, like, go do something. And Devin's like, wait, this looks like a job for
this is the
Fantastic
best.
Girl. And Devin.
And Devin.
He has, when he says Fantastic Girl, he is trying so hard not to laugh at just like how much fun he's having being this hammy. It's so nice. Yeah. He is like full on channeling the spirit of Burt Ward from 1966.
Oh, yeah.
But then he drags Cassidy out. She's like, I'm not a superhero. I don't want to do this. Even though she just said she is suited for it. And then it like zooms in on the Power Rangers. It's like, bum, 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 bum.
And, yeah, and they're just laughing.
And yep. And that's.
So here's what I wanted to point out. Okay. We can forget. Fantastic Girl and Devin knowing that Principal Randall gave the pen because they don't know what the pen did. So we can, right. I guess we could scrap that. Carson knows where he got an evil pen that possessed him to draw a comic book that trapped the Power Rangers, one of which he knows is Trent and does not think to tell Trent, hey, your principal gave me that pen.
What a dick. And she even introduced herself as Principal Randall. It's not like he's like, yeah, just like MILF came up and gave me a pen. It's like, no, her name is her last name presumably is Randall, and she works at a school. Do you know any Principal Randalls around here? So sloppy. It's such a sloppy episode.
It really is.
But Josh, that is the end of the sloppy episode. We have finished this slopstacle course.
Is that what it's called? Is this the sloppy episode?
It might be. You started, so I get to pick the first best. I'm going to say the best is Devin. I'm going to say the best is Devin having fun being dressed up like the chickadee.
I think my best is the special effect, not...
Which one?
Not the one you're thinking. Not the one where they're all in comic book aha world and looking like a bunch of smudges. The one right before that, where they're human people in a black and white inked background.
That was really good.
I wish the whole thing was that.
That would have been much better, I think.
They could have used the Nick Arcade technology to interact with the the hand-drawn background.
Oh my god. Remember when you were a kid and you're like, it's right there, just touch the thing, and then you look back at it and you're like, that was a green screen. They had to look at a little TV 40 feet away.
Yeah, I watched a video about about Nick Arcade yesterday, and it was like, god, they were just in a big blue room and they had like a 13-inch CRT monitor all the way across the room that they had to interpret.
Like, what am I looking at? Oh, those poor kids. I'm going to say the worst is the gross aha Pinnacle Studios filter. It's so bad, especially their faces. Like, very specifically, the way their faces look in the filter is the worst thing about the episode.
It's very bad. I can, though, I think I'm going to give that a pass because...
Okay.
I feel like when a lot of people that saw this as kids, like, this is their first Power Rangers... I feel like this is an episode that would really stand out in their memories because it's so visually different from anything else.
Right, right.
So I can kind of...
So you're worsting children's memories? Their treasured memories, Josh?
So I can kind of appreciate it for being, like, different.
Okay.
That I bet this is, like, a lot of people's favorite episode of Dino Thunder if they never went back and watched it again. As
okay.
my worst is the stupid Super Connor. I'm here to kill the monster. Everybody else back away.
That sucked.
I'm over it.
Yeah, that sucked a lot. Also, I realized that the muscle butt suit is American footage. I'm like 99% sure that is exclusively American. Like the Triassic stuff is Sentai, but
they probably were like, this will be their big upgrade for the Red Ranger. And then they were like, we want a bigger one where he's like, all not springy.
And like, that sucks. Even more.
And when he turns into it, he's like fire kick, but it's just part of the transformation sequence.
He says like super firepower, and then he finishes morphing, and I was like, that's nothing.
And then he doesn't use any fire powers; he just punches from far.
No, he has a squirt gun and a yo-yo.
He's just the Nintendo Switch game arms. Oh my god!
MVP, I'm gonna say is Trent.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he got to do some stuff today. That was nice for him.
He got to have a whole episode almost. It up until the end.
Up until the end when Connor went, actually, Trent, I got this. They could have just left it when they killed her in the comic book and then not done Connor trying to sell a toy that probably sucked.
I bet the thing falls apart after you play with it one time.
Knowing it is American, like, and someone correct me if it is actually Sentai footage, but I am 99.9% repeating sure that it's only American. Knowing that they made this makes me so mad that they waste so much time making me hate Connor at the end of every episode. I don't want to do that. Now we have to rank it.
Great.
I'll tell you this. It's better than the last one. It's better than In Your Dreams.
That's a hard one to... that's going to be a hard one to bottom? Is that a thing I can say? Because you're not trying to top it if you're trying to be worse than it.
No, you... are trying to bottom it, I guess. Yeah, that's a real...
I don't know if you have to bleep that or not.
I don't think so. That's a real steamy dumper of an episode. It sucks so bad. That episode is under an hour unedited. This one is at an hour and a half currently. We did talk about dreams for a while.
We got off track a couple times.
A little bit. Anywhere stick out to you? I feel like I'm looking at like
I don't think it passes Ocean Alert.
I don't think so either. Ocean Alert, the weird like watermark of like this is where episodes are good. I was also looking about there because I was thinking about Isn't It Lovely, where a scientist turns into a moth that can control volcanoes, and I don't remember a lot else other than it being whatever. a perfectly whatever episode. This one at least had like an interesting thing about it, even if I did hate looking at it.
Yeah, this is gonna be one later where we're like, what was that episode? It's like, oh, it's the one where they looked like creepy comic book characters.
Yeah, where they were like real doll comics. It was really bad. Their faces were so smooth in some parts. So I'm thinking above Isn't It Lovely, below Ocean Alert.
I think it's a good spot.
All right. Coming in at number 21. What was it called? Drawn into danger. That makes sense. Because he was drawn into comic books. He drew himself into it at the end, but you get it. So that's it for today. Let's figure out. I still have the thing pulled up. Next episode is called House of Cards.
Ooh. Wasn't that a TV show?
It was a TV show. Or it was a Netflix show, I think. So that will do it for us for today. We'll see you on Monday for House of Cards. But until then,
may the power protect you.
It reset. Hold on. I have to scroll down for 4 minutes. I hate that I just have that stuck in my head all the time.